Ziad Abbas is the director of the Idlib Cultural Center in the Dahesha refugee camp on the outskirts of Bethlehem in occupied Palestine. I first met Ziad a number of years ago when he brought a dance group from the Idlib Center on a tour of the United States, and last August was pleased to be his guest along with other members of the Middle East Children's Alliance tour of the occupied West Bank and Gaza. Welcome, Ziad, to KZYX.
Thank you for having me here.
Yes, Ziad, you have been in the U.S. while the Gaza withdrawal was being carried out. As you saw the gentleness with which the Israeli settlers are being removed, what were your thoughts?
First of all, I saw that through the American media. I saw that the way how the American media, TVs, newspapers, radio stations try to cover this. This way how they try to show it that the settlers, they are sacrificing for peace, that the Israeli government, they are sacrificing for peace, and they show all this kind of emotions around the settlers, the way how they want to leave their houses, they want to leave their land, their gardens, the sea, etc. And nothing mentioned about the Palestinian, nothing mentioned about the Palestinian. They were living in that area, nothing mentioned about the Palestinians. They were uprooted. They were living before 1967. Nothing mentioned that. No one, no settler living in Gaza Strip before 1967. I felt as a Palestinian that the American media sources here, they are deceiving their own people, and they are playing this kind of game, the way how they try to create such kind of support for Israelis and to support even the settlers. And the moment we speak about settlers, they are a people, they are never lived there, and they came from different countries from the world, and they took this land, they used the power, etc. I feel actually I am deceived. Yani deceived, at the same time no one pay attention for me as a human being, no one care about the pain that the Palestinian people suffer since 1948 until now. I feel that then American public opinion is still ignoring and still accepting this kind of propaganda around Israel and settlers and around the wall, etc. I feel we still have time as Palestinians. We need to continue our struggle because still the American, they are still supporting Israel, and they show what's happening in Gaza as a big sacrifice, which is nothing. For us, it's not make any sense to leave Gaza. Gaza before 1967, no settlers living there. Does Gaza return back like before 1967?
It's interesting. They talk about the connection of these settlers to the land, and they talk about these farmers, but in fact, the people who are actually doing the work on the land, getting their hands in the soil, were Palestinians.
Absolutely. If we go to all the settlements right now in West Bank and in Gaza Strip, and especially after 1967, most of the settlement was built by Palestinian workers because the labor market was open just for Israel. We can't go to work outside, and only the Palestinian workers, they were working inside the settlement. At the same time, even the gardens, the Palestinian farmers, they were taking care of this farms and take care of the gardens of the in the settlements or outside the settlements.
Now, what's interesting is the Palestinians are now expected to behave and be very quiet and try and build a quote-unquote democracy in Gaza while ignoring the fact that the West Bank not only remains under occupation, Israel is still taking more land, completing the wall, and making Jerusalem totally isolated from the Palestinian community at large. Well, Jerusalem, of course, has a powerful connection to all the Palestinians. Maybe you could describe it economically, politically, culturally.
I think right now the Israelis and the American, I speak about the American government, they are waiting for the Palestinian side to show that they are going to build the state in Gaza Strip, to show that the Palestinian right now, they want to stop their struggle, and they want to, they will be busy with the new kind of democracy like what we saw in Iraq actually, a new kind of democracy, and they will pay attention for their life. But for us as a Palestinian, and especially I speak of as a Palestinian refugee, I am I born and I grew up in a refugee camp, and to withdraw from Gaza or to have Oslo agreement, or have another 10 Oslos like the agreement they did it before in 1993, it's not make any sense for me as a refugee. I am waiting for my right as a refugee to return back to my homeland. Second, I think the Palestinian right now, they can't give up the struggle, and they show we are here, khalas, we finished with the, from Gaza Strip, and now we should be busy and we stop the struggle. Even today I read in the newspapers and I saw on Al Jazeera on the website that Al-Aqsa Brigade and all the fighters groups in Palestine, they refused to give up. They said it's Gaza, what's about West Bank? And the people, they don't trust. We saw that after Oslo Agreement. We saw how they confiscate land during the peace period more than they confiscated during the war period between Oslo 93 until 2000, the beginning of the second intifada. The idea for the meaning, yani, for this kind of steps they do it, we don't believe that the SLS, they are really ready for peace. They don't have the readiness inside themselves for peace. When I think, look to West Bank right now, economically, we don't have a real economy, and we are day by day, we are losing our own sources. We are losing, our factories are closing. The workers, they can't go to work inside Israel. And according to the United Nations, the poverty line, I mean, the Palestinians are around 64 right now. The last report, they are living less than $2.50 per day. At the same time, the possibility to communicate with other citizens in West Bank, it's not possible. And right now, if they will continue extending Ma'ale Udumim settlement around East Jerusalem, no way to communicate between south of West Bank to north of West Bank, because it is the only way the Palestinians, they can move from south to north. And in this case, the Israelis, they cut West Bank, which West Bank is already cut by the... the checkpoints, by the wall, by the other settlement, etc. But right now it will be more official way, the way how they do it. And of course, from Ramallah to Nablus, it's not easy to move because tens of checkpoints there, Jenin, the rest. No, I can say it. That's true, they withdraw from Gaza. That's true, they are going to give Gaza to the Palestinian Authority. But the Israeli dream, long time ago, they were waiting to leave Gaza. Even Rabin himself, he was dreaming to wake up one day to find that the sea swallowed Gaza. No Gaza, Gaza will not be exist anymore. So he will ignore it forever. For West Bank, the Israelis, they will concentrate more and more. And they were very clear, actually. In the days the settlers, they were moving out, Sharon, he said, very clear, we will extend the settlement and we will focus and concentrate in West Bank. And for example, in south of West Bank, they will extend the settlement in Gush Atzon area and Kiryat Arba, Ma'ale Udumim around East Jerusalem. And for the first time in the history, the Palestinians in East Jerusalem, they became the minority. And the settlers, the number of the settlers getting bigger and bigger, extended the number, the people they are living in East Jerusalem, and some of the settlers which they moved from Gaza, they are going to live there, especially in Ma'ale Udumim and Gush Atzion. And they will extend the settlement called Ariel. It's very close to Nablus area. And this is exactly Ma'ale Udumim, Gush Atzion, Ariel, nothing. No, it's no possibility to build a Palestinian state, even in West Bank and Gaza Strip. It's not possible. Without East Jerusalem now, the Palestinians, they are the minority. And this is the Israeli game, which when they will reach the final negotiation, that the Palestinians, they will not find something to negotiate about. We are the minority in East Jerusalem. The settlement exists. The Israelis, they are not ready to leave. And we should accept any peace plan which the Israelis and the American will impose it on the Palestinians.
Well, it's interesting. I earlier in my newscast, I read the report, a part of a report of a European delegation of former foreign ministers who were there in occupied Palestine and Israel last week and made a scathing report, a critical report of Israel, and called on the international community to do something to hold Israel to account, because they saw the Gaza withdrawal not being a step toward peace, but being its opposite, and yet there was nothing in the American media about this at all. I don't know if you have seen this report, but it will obviously be published in Europe. But in the United States, of course, is where Israel gets its main support. Do you see any possibilities of any breakthroughs at all, or is it going to be more of the same?
I think I saw the report, actually, from the European delegation. And that's right. If you think about Gaza, the Israelis, they are moving out Gaza, but Gaza will be a big jail. The Israelis, they will control everything, even the borders. But Gaza, it's like where they can, in the future, they want to squeeze the Palestinians, just they extend the pressure on Gaza Strip. They go out, they move out, they put the market in the checkpoints where the Palestinian workers, they can come to work on the borders between Gaza and Israel, and they will control everything. They will control, they have a gates, they can control the sea, they can control the sky, the air, and they can control everything. And of course, they can control the water, they can control the food, they control most of the things, which it is, I don't see it as such kind of a step toward the peace. Gaza, it's like, for the Israelis, it was like a real bane. They want to finish with it. What I believe in the future, the Israelis, the way how they try to play with the international public opinion and try to show the world that they are doing some steps toward the peace, the Palestinian will be big price. And I believe next stage, the Israelis, they will be more aggressive in West Bank. As I said before, they will confiscate more land. They will continue the wall, of course. The wall is still continue, and right now they want to continue around Hebron area. The jails will receive more political prisoners, especially from West Bank. They control the borders, they control the water, they control everything. And I believe if this intifada is going quiet right now, which I do, it will, we can feel and we can smell a new intifada is coming, because the Israelis, the way how they try to use this kind of all the propaganda around moving from Gaza Strip, it will, they will find it as excuse to be more aggressive against the Palestinian people. And the Palestinian Authority, I'm not defending the Palestinian Authority, actually. They put themselves in this position. But the Palestinian Authority, they can't do anything. Their hand is very tied. And the people, they want to see there is something moving on the ground, which we don't see anything. Just to move as a human being from Bethlehem to Ramallah, you die tens of times on the way to reach Ramallah, which is in normal way, it's like 1 hour. But right now, it takes from you 3-4 hours and sometimes the whole day. And this is such kind of pain day by day. It's becoming bigger and to reflect itself on the ground. And the Palestinian Authority, they will find themselves in the end. They don't have anything. And we come to trust this kind of plans for peace. We can't. Even we are people dreaming for peace. We sleep dreaming for peace one day to live in equal rights and to be free just to move. Yeah. Me, one of the things I enjoyed sometime when my friends drive, we can drive like 10 miles, 15 miles, which I can't do that in Palestine. I drive my car only in 10 square kilometers, and since 5 years, my car didn't leave the area. And this kind of things, the small things, which we are dreaming about it, and when we think about the peace, we don't find it in the ground there, and we feel deceived day by day. We are deceived. We see something in the media. At the same time, the second day you go to your daily life, you find nothing changed. 8,000 Palestinian political prisoners waiting. For what? For how long they will wait inside? Any agreement for peace between countries or in the history, we see the political prisoners, they released in South Africa. Nelson Mandela released, and this is the moment when the African people, they realize that there is, the peace is coming, the moment they released Nelson Mandela. And for us as a Palestinian, we want to see such kind of practical steps that the Israelis or the American, they put a pressure on Israel to do such kind of practical steps where some change in our daily life as a Palestinian.
Well, Israel indicated, or Sharon indicated, that there would be really no change while calling for the Palestinians to be quiet. They sent one of their death squads, their assassination squads, into the West Bank and assassinated 5 Palestinians while this was going on. It got very little play in American media. Obviously, he wants retaliation and an excuse to continue the war on the Palestinians.
Actually, if we want to speak politics, right now Sharon, he faced such kind of problem inside his party because Netanyahu is a new candidate to lead the party. And especially in Likud party, the same for the Labour party. As much you are aggressive, as much you attack the Palestinian, as much you use the collective punishment and you torture the Palestinian, as much you can get support from the ground in their party. So absolutely, when Sharon did that, he was waiting for the retaliation from the Palestinian side. So he can escalate and he can show the Israeli street that I am, look, that's true, I moved from Gaza, but I am still use the stick and I am still oppressing the Palestinian people. And this is the game. And this is such kind of, for the election inside the Likud party, anything happen inside the Israeli community, especially the political party, especially the two big parties, the Palestinian people, they pay the price. The farmers, the boy, he was killed among the five persons killed in Turkarim, he was 16 years old. He paid the price for this kind of election to gain support from the his party. And this is, yeah, I mean, sometimes you feel you are like the market when it's like commercial competition and you pay the price all the time. You pay the price as a human being. And this is what make it can create the seeds for a new intifada. And it will reflect itself in the future. This kind of pain, day by day, it will continue inside the Palestinian and it will reflect itself in a new intifada, a new movement, new actions, etc.
When I was staying in Dehesha a year ago, in the early morning hours, an Israeli squad raided a house, arrested a newlywed young man, and before leaving, blew up the lower floor apartment, effectively destroying the building. How often does that happen? That's a common occurrence, is it not?
Yeah, it's destroying houses. This is one of the ways how the Israelis, they use it to punish the whole family. And maybe someone, he's an active in a family, and he's arrested, and he's in the jail, etc. But the Israeli laws itself, they legitimize to punish the whole family, to punish the whole community, to punish the whole village, to punish the whole city, to punish the whole, all the Palestinian people. And it's coming like this. And if you compare that, actually, with the apartheid system in South Africa, usually the apartheid system, if someone did something, they take him, they arrest him, they kill him, they jail him, etc. But compare that with the Israelis, no. The Israelis, they punish the whole family and the neighbors and the camp. And actually, if you want to go to the, I don't have exactly the statistics, but I can say it. More than 15,000 Palestinian houses destroyed in this intifada. And everyone remember what's happened in Rafah a year ago, a year and a half ago. And when they, like a mass campaign with the American bulldozers, of course, made in America, they were bombing and destroying the Palestinian houses. Because this is the content of the collective punishment, that they destroyed the houses everywhere. Sometimes they use as an excuse because the house is built without a permit. And when you go to apply for a permit, a license to build the house, they refuse to give it to you, especially in East Jerusalem. And they destroyed the house. And sometimes they make you destroy your house. And if you don't do that, they will impose on you to pay a fine. And if you don't do that, you will be jailed. Sometime in the Dehesha refugee camp, many times they bombed houses, and the way they bomb it, they punish the family. If they want to build another house, they need to destroy the building by their hands. So they bomb it, and they keep it aside. But you can't use it, and you can't live in it, and you can't maintain it. You should destroy it and make it in the ground and to clean it. And this is what's happening actually with many families. And this style is still used. And even recently, according to the ceasefire period, that the Israelis, they reduced the number of the houses to, they didn't destroy a lot of houses last period, but they still use it as excuses that the Palestinian, they built without a license. And usually, or all the time, the Israelis, they refuse to give you a license to build a new house. This is, when you think about the whole collective punishment style or the persecution style, they use it as Israelis. They are very expert in this way. If you think about the curfew, destroying houses, cut the water, cut the electricity, control the roads, the checkpoints, building jails. Look how many jails they are distributed around Israel and around West Bank. They are, it's like a machine of torture created inside the Israeli system, where they, you find an experts, and when they are retired, directly you find them in Latin America or in Africa helping such kind of regimes or doing their own business, because they became expert in the way how they tortured. And this is such kind of a new school now. And many Israelis from the Israeli army graduated from this school. And if you go to Latin America or to Africa, you'll find how many experts from the Israelis they are working there.
That's a very good point. You had them providing security training for Idi Amin, for Mobutu Sese Seko. As a matter of fact, they make the School of Americas, which we protest here, seem relatively tame. When they want serious killers, they look for the experts and they go to Jerusalem.
You know, it's really very sad when you think about it. If you go back to the history in 1944, during the Holocaust, and you look to the Jewish community, what's happened to them, and it's really very hard and very sad. At the same time, when you think about the Israelis, which they used the Holocaust, and they were victims, and right now they are victimizers.
Of course, it's a different group of Israelis. I mean, the people who have been running Israel since it became a state, like Sharon, were not Holocaust survivors. They were actually in Palestine or came from America, South Africa, or Britain. Or now, like Sharansky came from Russia. You see Sharansky sitting next to Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Here's someone who is in prison for fighting for human rights, so-called human rights, in Russia. And when he comes to Israel, he becomes one of the most forthright defenders of Israeli occupation.
Yeah, exactly. This is the way how they change. I call it they change the history, and they change it for their own interests. Of course, part of the Jewish community, which the people they know, we meet, they feel shame of this occupation. But still, sometimes we are waiting for the Jewish voice to raise and to be very high and try to stop this. Because for us as a Palestinian, even when we think about the future, I'm working with children and youth. And we try, even right now, we are under occupation and we think about the peace and we think about the future and we want to build our future. We want to plant the seeds even for long term, because we are victims right now. And the new generation in Palestine, they are victims, but we don't want to be victimizers. Because we are seeing every day what's happening in the ground. People, they were tortured, they were harassed, they were suffered a lot. Right now, they became a victimizer. We don't want to be in the same level, and we want to learn from this lesson.
Perhaps you could actually, you brought it up, tell us about something positive about the Ibda Cultural Center.
Absolutely. When we speak about the situation in Palestine, everyone feel pessimistic. But we have a lot of things in Palestine. We are very optimistic. And we are a people, Palestinian people, have hope all the time. We smile a lot. We laugh a lot. We joke a lot. And this is one of the ways sometimes to face the occupation. We are working with Ibda Cultural Center right now, and we are preparing for the new tour for Ibda Dancing Group. And with Middle Eastern Alliance in California, we are planning to get to the States again, and we will have a program touring in different states. The new generation, the dancing group, they are coming, it's a new generation. They are the fourth generation, the fourth dancers generation. And the youngest one will be, she is 10 years old, and the oldest one will be 13 and a half, something like this. And it will be the first time for them to travel outside the refugee camp and outside the wall, I can say it. The dancing, we are coming here to perform in different states. We will be, I think, in Boston, Chicago, Dearborn, Detroit, Texas, New Mexico, California.
Berkeley, of course.
Of course, Berkeley and San Francisco.
Yes.
And we have the same message, because we believe the children, they are the right people to transfer the message, because they can't lie. They're like the media sources, you know. They can't lie. They say about their reality, about their daily life. And we use the dancing and the music as one of the way where we can express what's inside ourselves. We have different kind of shows right this time, and I hope we are bringing a new show which speak about the future of Palestinian refugees. We are coming here at the same time to meet the different kind of communities here in different states, and they are organizing workshops between our children and other children, maybe from different kind of other minorities that are living here around. I hope in New Mexico, and when we will be in New Mexico, we will meet with some dancing group there from the indigenous people living there. At the same, we will have in San Francisco and Berkeley, we'll do such kind of joint show between our dancing group and Loco Bloco in San Francisco. This is the new trip, and we are very optimistic for this, because this is one of the ways where we can reach the American community, try to try to communicate with an American public opinion. We want them to learn about us, and we want to learn about them, and we want them to see the reality. We are as the children, they are coming, they are the result of the Israeli occupation since 1948 until now.
The wall comes very close to Bethlehem. It's actually, I think, cuts part of it off. How close is the wall to Dehesha?
You know, the people, when they speak about the wall, they speak about it like this kind of concrete 8 meters high. But actually, the wall, it's very, very close. The wall is inside each Palestinian everywhere, no matter, inside ourselves. We are living inside walls. Even I'm in the States, sometimes I feel I am living behind the wall, even I am moving around the States. Psychologically, we are affected a lot. And in the ground, this is how which the people, they can't see it. When we speak about it, even the people think, ah, what? But this is inside ourselves, because when you open your window, when you see the settlements, it's another wall. With the checkpoint, it's another wall. With the curfew and the military orders, it's another wall. To be a refugee in a refugee camp, you are surrounded by different kind of walls and barriers, etc. This is the walls that the people, they can't see it, but we are live with it every minute, every second in our daily life. The real wall, which it is not far from Dehesha. From the back of Dehesha refugee camp, it will be like 2 kilometers. From in front of Dehesha, it will be like 5 kilometers. But Aida refugee camp, it's affected a lot by the walls. I mean, right now, Aida, and especially the west side of Aida, west-north, I can say it, it's the high, 8 meters high. And isolated them, even they can't see. Some houses in the camp, they can't, no sun will reach them. Bethlehem already almost surrounded by the wall right now, and especially the north entrance for Bethlehem, north gate for the people coming from Jerusalem. It's a huge wall, and it looks like a huge gate there. And some families, actually, the wall is far from their houses, like 2 meters, 3 meters. And some families in Bethlehem area, actually, their garden, it's part of the garden inside Bethlehem, and the other part is inside Jerusalem, because the wall cuts the garden itself. We are lucky people, actually, and we have this kind of wall around us, and it's like, I can't say it, it's the cage. We are living inside the cage, and Bethlehem area, in Ramallah, in Nablus, in Hebron, everywhere, we are living inside cage. And that's what they did. They used everything except one thing now. We are waiting for it. When they will cover, because the wall, they can cover it. When they will cover it, and it will be a real cage where even we can't look to the sky.
No, it's interesting, or not sad, is that as this wall has snaked through, not along the Green Line, but along the within the occupied territories, all through the West Bank, you have Palestinians who are now going to be on the Israeli side of the wall, totally cut off, with even less rights than they had before. I presume the idea is to put pressure on these Palestinians to leave that area and go further someplace in the West Bank, or leave Palestine altogether. I know there's been, since at least 1988, half the population shown in polls in Israel, half the Israeli Jewish population supports what they call, quote, voluntary transfer of the Palestinians out of the West Bank. What do you have to say about that?
Actually, this is 2 weeks ago. It's about East Jerusalem. I'm not sure about the number exactly, but I believe more than 55,000 to 60,000 Palestinians living in East Jerusalem. They will be outside the wall, and even the Israelis themselves, because usually these people, they, according to the law, they pay taxes, they pay everything, all the, despite all the laws there, where it's put more pressure on the Palestinians living in East Jerusalem to pay the taxes, etc. And right now they are isolated. They are pushed outside of Jerusalem by the wall. And this is the area, it's in East Jerusalem, and they decided to have 12 or 14, I'm not sure about the number exactly, 12 or 14 entrances for them where they can enter to Jerusalem. And this gates, it will be controlled by the Israeli army. Even they start thinking, the Israelis, okay, we'll do the services for them as the local council there, they do the services for East Jerusalem, the people living in East Jerusalem, but we will transfer it outside the wall where they don't need even to enter inside the wall. They don't want them to enter inside East Jerusalem. This is the plan where they push the people just to leave Jerusalem. And as you know, that's why they use the ethnic cleansing inside East Jerusalem in front of all the world, and they don't want no one pay attention. And when I say ethnic cleansing, yes, but they do it in a very slow way. That they ask the people, anyone will leave outside Jerusalem for more than 7 years, he loses his ID, Jerusalem ID, and he doesn't have the right to return back to live in Jerusalem. And all this kind of laws, anyone will marry from West Bank, he doesn't have the right to get his wife to live inside East Jerusalem, but he can move to live inside West Bank. And this is the way how they try to push the people outside East Jerusalem. So for this reason right now, the Palestinian people living in East Jerusalem, they are the minority right now. This is such kind of description about, this is recently after they withdrew from Gaza. And this is the new plan for people that are living inside East Jerusalem. They have Israeli ID cards, they pay the taxes, and they banished by the wall.
Well, one thing I'd like to return to, which we touched on earlier, is the right of return of Palestinian refugees to their homes. This is seen as an impossibility by Israel because it would destroy the quote-unquote Jewish character of the state. But is there any solution without the Palestinian right of return for the refugees from the refugee camps of Lebanon, Jordan, and so on, to their homeland?
Yani, when the people, they say, if there is any alternative for right of return to reach the peace in the Middle East, for me, as a refugee, I can't say it. It's impossible to reach the peace in the Middle East without right of return. I believe the key of the peace in the Middle East is right of return. Without right of return, never ever can be peace plan settled in the Middle East. Because when you speak about right of return, you speak about the rights of more than 6 million Palestinian refugees. You are speaking about the rights of two-thirds of the Palestinian people. The rights of people, they are distributed since 1948, and they don't even can communicate with each other sometimes, or to don't see each other. I saw my sister for the first time just 2 weeks ago when she succeeded to come from Syria to Jordan. Since 6 or 7 until now, I grew up without any contact with my sister. Just sometimes we call by phone, and I saw her. So when we speak about the future of Palestine, or even when we speak about the future of the Arab-Israeli conflict, even when we speak about, or think about, to imagine the peace in the Middle East, how you can imagine peace without the right of more than 6 million Palestinian refugees? How, and like this, you, and like in America they do that actually. The people, they don't ignore the indigenous people here, and they ignore their rights, and they continue their life. But you can feel it if you go to New Mexico, if you go to the streets here, and sometimes you can feel this kind of pain. For the people, they want to feel it and to see it, they can see it. But for the people, they ignore it and they want to be blind, they don't want to see it. Yes, they will be blind and they will not see it. But for us as in the Middle East, for me, I have the right. I'm in the States now. I can live in Europe if I want. I can go to live in Amman if I can go. But I will not be free. And all the Palestinians, they are living even in the States right now, and they have American citizenship. And they vote in the election or in Europe. They don't feel free because they can move where they want. Where they want, they can move, except their country, except their villages. And they don't have the right to return back to their villages. Which kind of freedom we have?